220! 220!
It's Intentional Grounding, Chicago's best Bears breakdown and analysis.
Ice up, son. Ice up.
Now, they are WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue and the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
Welcome into episode 26 of Intentional Grounding. We're back in the lovely basement. It's been a while.
Yeah, I can't. Regular season?
I think so. Maybe right at the end of the regular season?
Maybe. I think the postseason was the Hallis Hall Closet. A couple Spring Hill Suites.
Yeah. I don't know if you have ever had this happen, but I have some people I run into sometimes that are like, ask me about the podcast. And mm-hmm. Do you really do that from a basement? Or are you really in a closet at Hallis Hall? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, believe it or not.
Yeah. Only 1% of the time are we actually in like a nice studio at WGN downtown. Mainly because we're too lazy to go down there. If we're just being honest. But the basement works, as does the closet. That's why we do it. This is episode 26 of Intentional Grounding. Adam Hogan, Adam Johns, back with you. Plenty to discuss with the Bears, making a ton of moves in the last week. And you can follow us on Twitter, at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. We've both had plenty of activity on Twitter over the last week, and we'll continue as the Bears could make more moves this week, and the NFL owners' meetings start on Sunday. We will both be down in Florida for those. The website's WGNradio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com. I have a new column up there today, this morning, 10 Bears things, kind of recapping the week. Do you have anything today? Sorry, I didn't have a chance to
read. Other than a little notebook? No.
Right.
We're working on some things.
I know.
It's kind of the wave of free agency. We're in the second wave. That means we relax a little bit, Adam.
I know.
Maybe do five things.
Five things, not ten. I haven't written since like last Thursday. So I felt like I had to bring it a little bit more this morning. But anyway, there's a new column up that you can check. And on iTunes, search Intentional Grounding. Subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. And if you enjoy the podcast, heard a lot of positive feedback lately, please rate it and leave a review. That helps boost it a little bit on iTunes and get a little bit more exposure. So if you're a fan of the podcast, we appreciate you doing that. Our producer is Mike Jacobson, who's texting me right now and says I need to turn up your mic just a little bit. Or you could talk louder, whatever you want.
I'll start yelling. Is that better, Mike?
That's why we have Mike Jacobson, because he's the best. Make sure the levels are coming through your speakers the right way. All right, so a lot has happened in the last week. We of course, did a short version of Intentional Grounding last week, talked to Danny Trevathan and talked to Bobby Massey, the first two big signings. But since then, the Bears have added Jarrell Freeman, making the linebacker core pretty solid. If you're talking about, if you're going to start ranking 3-4 inside linebacker duos across the NFL, Danny Trevathan, Jarrell Freeman, pretty good.
Well, it's definitely, just compare it to what the Bears had last season, and it's a significant upgrade.
Right. The way I put it in my piece this morning, look, it's not Brian Urlacher and Lance Briggs out there.
Not many are.
But it's not Shea McClellan and Christian Jones either. It's a pretty good upgrade. And one thing I'd like to point out, too, because naturally you compare things to the Packers and what's going on up north. I think that's fair. They're kind of the cream of the crop in the NFC North, even if the Vikings actually technically won the division last year. They are looking for inside linebackers, too, or they at least need an upgrade at that position.
Yeah.
And Ted Thompson doesn't dive into free agency too often, so I'm not sure that he was going to go out and spend a bunch of money on Danny Trevathan or Jarrell Freeman. But fans up there, I've noticed, are frustrated because they know they need upgrades at inside linebacker. Ted Thompson, not diving into free agency as normal, probably going to address the position in the draft, I would think. But right now, the Bears have considerably upgraded themselves up the middle in their defense, and the Packers have not. I think that's important.
I wonder if they'll give a good old Shea McClellan.
Maybe.
He met with the Jets. He met with the Seahawks. There is a market for him out there. And if we go back 4 years ago, Shea McClellan, the Packers were one of the teams that were very high on him and had a late first-round grade on him. So, hey, maybe he finds a new home up there.
That would be interesting.
Would you go up there for the press conference?
I think I might leave that for you newspaper folks. I mean, I didn't even go up there for the Julius Peppers press conference. Did you?
I don't think they had one.
Yeah, I don't think they did either.
No, quiet.
I don't think they're going to have a press conference for Shea McClellan, actually, if we really think about it. I'm sure Biggsy will go up down to the first day of training camp, or mini camp, I should say, and get an interview with Shea. Hey, look, wherever he ends up, it'll be interesting. Do you think Shea's done with the Bears? I still think there's a small crack open in the door.
I do, because it's Vic Fangio.
Yeah.
And because he just loves the guy. I don't think the door is completely shut on him. Maybe the Bears are waiting to see how far his market falls.
Well, look, if you want a backup inside linebacker, who's better than the guy that called your defense last year on the field?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think we all agree, even you can agree, that Shea probably should not be starting anymore and won't be starting over Drell Freeman.
No. You don't sign those guys not to start, yeah.
But you still need depth, mm-hmm. and you still want some competition at that position among your backups.
Yeah.
And I think there's guys that the Bears like. I think they like John Timu as a young guy with speed who could maybe make the team, good special teamer. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
But Shea, it'd still be a solid backup option.
Yeah, right now the three backups would be three undrafted guys. Christian Jones. Jonathan Anderson,
John Timu.
Yeah. I think John Timu probably impressed the most by the end of last season. He
probably
was the most consistent. The only guy playing every down as far as the inside linebackers by the end of the season. Yes, you probably look at the draft, but I think the Bears' message was loud and clear. They signed these guys because the inside linebacking class is relatively weak.
Yeah. Good upgrades there for the Bears up the middle. They got to get a new safety. I don't know where it's going to be. I guess they don't have to, but you would think they're going to try to upgrade at safety somewhere, although I feel like I've been saying this since Mike Brown retired.
That's a long time ago.
I know. I
mean, a lot of safeties since then.
But the point is, they've never really had a big splash with a safety. They've never really used an early pick on a safety. The earliest I think they've used to address that position is the third round.
But that'd be Chris Conte, right?
Chris Conte, Brandon Harden.
Oh, boy.
A lot of guys that haven't worked out.
Brandon Harden.
Signings? Yeah. They've only gone in the secondary market, really.
Yeah.
Unless I'm forgetting somebody. I mean, they really have.
I mean, other than Eric Weddle, though.
Not too many big options out
there. No. I mean, he's the number one safety in the market. He's in his 30s. You know, I know Roll is in his 30s, and Weddle's an upgrade over Roll, I believe. But, look, they weren't spending money in that position. They had other money to spend in other areas.
Yeah. Look, Weddle, I like Eric Weddle, but he doesn't fit the – I feel like Ryan Pace has a pretty – and I wrote about this morning, too – pretty clear philosophy here with free agency that we've seen over the last 2 years. And we talked about this last week on the podcast. He's going to spend money on mid-20s, second contract players that still have upside, room to grow.
No, I mean, Royal and Eddie Royal.
But that's a secondary market.
Yeah.
I don't think that was a huge amount of money.
No.
I mean, they're contracts that you look back on and you go, all right, they didn't really work out. But did they kill you? Are they holding you back? Not really.
No.
Not really. That's the secondary market. That's where he's going to – and I think Jarrell Freeman falls into that category. He's 29, not a ton of money. That's a secondary market player.
Yeah.
Weddle, while he didn't sign until, yesterday with the Ravens, he was commanding more of that top market.
Top tier money. He still was, yeah. And he's still a very good player.
And he's older. So that my point is he doesn't really fit that – that mold of what
he's
Ryan
not
Pace
on a second
doing.
Contract. Yeah. No. I mean, Trevathan's probably even like Bobby Massey, though, young guy, but he didn't get the big money. I think Trevathan is like I think maybe they do one a year.
Right.
It looks like Pace is going to do this or how he's going to do it.
And even that was
McPhee
a pretty
last year. Danny Trevathan this year. Fair. They're both good fair deals for the team.
One thing, speaking of Trevathan, I do want to sneak in there because we talked to a radio host out of Denver on our radio show over the weekend. And he said that immediately he was like, Bears fans are going to love Danny Trevathan. Hard worker, great guy, great to talk to, which I think we experienced when we had him on the podcast.
Oh, I like the guy. How could you not like the guy?
I liked him a lot. He said John Fox loves him.
Yeah.
He said the only thing, the injuries.
Yeah.
And it can't be ignored. He suffered two bone fractures in his left knee. And then dislocated the kneecap, all in 2014, three injuries. And Danny admitted last week in his press conference at House Hall that he thought it was over.
Right.
And I will also bring up the fact that that's a similar injury as what Gabe Kareemi suffered. And that totally derailed a promising career.
Now, Trevathan, though.
came back.
Yes. And led the Broncos in tackles. Gabe Kareemi was probably a questionable first-round pick to begin with.
Well, maybe. I thought it was a good pick at the time, and I thought he got off to a good start.
Adam is wearing a Wisconsin hoodie. I should know.
Fair enough. Fair enough. But he did have a promising training camp, if you remember that year. And Mike Tice said going into the regular season that he was the best offensive lineman already. And game two of his career, he suffers a dislocated knee, and the rest is history. Look, all I'm saying is to bring in, we got to bring in the other side of it. The injuries are a concern. It is very encouraging that he came back in 2015 and led the Broncos in tackles. And all signs point to him being okay with that knee injury. But it was a severe knee injury. Sometimes guys never come back. Yeah. It looks like Trevathan has. That's great. And as I said last week, I like the signing a lot. I think it's going to work out. It's just something to keep in mind.
Well, bad luck happens, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the bad breaks happen. So if you're going to look at his contract, I only think the first 2 years are what's guaranteed. So the right. Bears did protect themselves in some regard there.
Okay, let's move on to, and by the way, we haven't even mentioned Akeem Hicks.
Yeah,
another upgrade to the defense, specifically on the defensive line, which needs a lot of help. And it seems like the Bears successfully held off an attack from the Lions on Akeem Hicks and didn't let him leave the building without signing the contract.
The most impressive one is that Bill Belichick called the guy. So when did Akeem Hicks officially sign? Monday morning? Is that right?
Officially, but I think it was agreed to Sunday night,
okay.
Correct?
So Sunday night, Bill Belichick calls this guy.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick, best coach in the NFL, Super Bowl winner, multiple Super Bowl winner, pitches this guy in the Patriots. Yes, the money probably wasn't the same, but this is still the best coach by far, in my opinion, in the league, asking you to stay, and you said no to him. Why? Because you believe in what Fox and Ryan Pace are trying to build here. And maybe the money is a little bit better. Yes, Patriots fans are all over me on Twitter about that, but he still likes the defense he's joining here in Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, money always talks the loudest, but Bill Belichick calling you on the phone at one last-ditch effort to try to get you to stay in a place that always wins, that speaks pretty loud, too.
Yeah.
So, you're right. It says a lot about the culture that Ryan Pace and John Fox have built in just 1 year. And it's the same thing echoed by Danny Trevathan and Bobby Massey and everyone else that has signed in the last week. And that brings me also to Zach Miller, who re-signs on a 2-year contract with the Bears, and something else that he said. So he, of course, referenced the culture. He was in it last year. He experienced it. And he said that, you know, number one, his family. But there was also someone else involved in this that played a big part in him re-signing. And I think it's important to talk about. This is what Zach Miller said on a conference call with us yesterday about why he re-signed with the Bears.
Family-wise was number one. You know, my wife and kids being comfortable, and that was – Jay was number two, to be honest with you. To be able to play football with a guy like that at that position, elite arm, elite mental status where he can make decisions, that was one of the biggest reasons, along with many others, but – you know, that was up there.
So that's Jay Cutler he's talking about. And as I put it in my 10 Bears things this morning, the, quote, Jay Cutler is a bad teammate narrative suffered yet another catastrophic blow on Tuesday. And then I quoted Zach Miller on what exactly what he just said there. I mean, the bottom line is that maybe there was a day where Jay Cutler, well, there was a day when Jay Cutler was not universally liked by everyone in that locker room.
Yeah.
But you're also talking about a guy, and you know this from talking to him at the end of the season, who has basically admitted he has grown up through the years. We've seen it. And when he came in 2009, he entered a locker room that was full of guys like Brian Urlacher and Lance Briggs that controlled that place. And here comes this young, somewhat immature guy that has rubbed people the wrong way in his career. And that, I think, is what created this idea that Jay Cutler wasn't the greatest teammate in the world. What has happened since, though, and especially in the last year, first of all those guys are gone.
Long gone.
This locker room has turned over. Jay Cutler and Robbie Gould are the only two guys left. And this offense specifically, but also I think he's won over the defense too at this point.
Oh, yeah.
These guys in this locker room believe in Jay Cutler, and this regime, which maybe a year ago didn't, John Fox, Ryan Pace, they completely believe in him. And there is no he's a bad teammate narrative anymore, at least inside that clubhouse. The Bears universally like Jay Cutler, and he is a leader and a captain of this team.
Well, I think John Fox and Ryan Pace, well, last year they wanted to figure it out for themselves, and they learned that. They didn't want to give him the vote of confidence last year, and they now have all the confidence in the world in him with his play and with how he is in the locker room. When Bobby Massey and Danny Trevathan were introduced, who was the first player there that morning?
Jay Cutler.
He was there. You heard similar stories in other instances. When Kyle Long was drafted, the first person he met in the Bears locker room, Jay Cutler. Look, locally, I think the narrative has changed. Nationally, that perception's still there for whatever reason. Maybe they don't want to plug in the Chicago media for whatever reason. And yes, Jay Cutler can still look sour on the sidelines at times. It's just who he is. That's how his facial expressions work. But as far as being a leader, look, people lead in different ways. He is one for the Bears.
Yeah, and look, even, I don't know why this doesn't go away nationally. It just always seems to be there. And
you think with a guy like Fox, who is foxy, yeah. You know, that's how he's known around the league. Everybody knows John Fox. That narrative would swing the other direction. Maybe it's going to take more time because maybe people just have these thoughts in their head and they can't get rid of them. But maybe Fox and his influence, the way he's so personable with everybody around the league, that perception finally starts to change.
Maybe. We'll see. But it's certainly changing amongst his teammates, and that it has changed amongst his teammates for a while now. He has been a leader and had the support of that locker room. So, but that's just something I wanted to bring up too. And Zach Miller, as far as he goes, I think it's important the Bears re-signed him. Good for him, considering where he had been with injuries in his career. Talk about guys that probably thought it was over at some point, and he's fought through all those injuries, put in the work, survived a regime change that many times you would just see them let a guy like that go coming off an injury like he had in 2014 with the broken foot. And instead, he's a big part of this team, and he gets a two-year contract with $3 million guaranteed. Good for him.
I think he can reach 7.5 or maybe 8. I forget the exact number with incentives. He is the Bears' number one tight end. We should just be clear about that, I think. You know, Martellus Bennett, I can't see him coming back. I think he's already out the door. It's just making it official.
Yeah.
Finding him another team. I don't know if they're going to be able to trade him. You talk to people around the league, there are doubts. People know about this guy. Not that other teams won't take him on, but as far as giving something back to the Bears when the Bears could cut him, maybe before the draft, why would you trade for him?
Well, this is sort of a similar situation as Brandon Marshall a year ago, and the Bears did get a fifth-round pick. They had to give up their seventh, though, to get it from the Jets. This is an interesting situation because if you just look at his production and his contract, you would think he'd have some value because his contract currently ranks 14th amongst tight ends in terms of total value, okay? And if you look at his production over the last three seasons with the Bears, he ranks fourth among tight ends in receptions, fifth in receiving yards, and ninth in touchdowns. So he has outperformed his contract. It's just a fact. He has outperformed his contract, and he's underpaid as a tight end. But so if you're a team out there, you're going, oh, well, there's some value there to bring in a guy for 1 year who's going to be highly motivated, not too much money, probably going to produce. The problem is, Martellus Bennett knows he's underpaid. This is why he held out last offseason, even though he didn't have much leverage. And that's still a concern, I would think, if you're a team trying to trade for him. Is he going to hold out on me? So those details need to be worked out before you trade him, don't you think? I mean, are you going to find a team that's willing to restructure his contract?
Well, that's why you bring in his agent.
Right.
And you have to bring in Kennard-McGuire to make it work.
And he has been involved.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, these are sort of the muddy waters that the Bears have to be working
through. Do you think he's really a top-tier tight end, though?
The numbers suggest he is.
I don't know. No. He had one very good season.
I don't know.
For a bad football team.
I think the concern is that he tails.
One very good season for a bad football team.
He tails off.
Yeah.
At the end of seasons. That's the concern. Otherwise, I think he's been pretty consistent. You don't?
No. In his career? Look, if he was an elite tight end, the New York Giants with the best tight ends coach in the league, they don't let him go. You know? Elite players don't bounce around like Martellus Bennett is going to be. He's going to be on his fourth team?
Well, they do when they have the kind of issues that he's had in the locker room. I mean, we saw that with Brandon Marshall. The guy was one of the best wide receivers in the league
Now, Brandon is more productive.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I think his issues were a little bit more pronounced than Martellus Bennett. Look, Martellus Bennett is not the worst teammate in the world. He's not. He's a pretty good teammate. He just tends to say things and do things that take away from the team, I tend to believe, every now and then. But I don't know. I think he's the Bears' best tight end in the roster, even with Zach Miller back. But is he Rob Gronkowski? Do you think that?
Absolutely.
Who are your top three tight ends in the league?
Well, it's Gronk, for sure, number one. I mean, Jimmy Graham would have been up there, but he's kind of tailed off.
Is he better than Travis Kelce?
Not last year.
Zach Ertz?
Yes, actually, technically not.
Ertz is on the rise.
Technically not last year, but over the last 3 years, Martellus has been the better player. I actually looked up that comp last night.
Who, Kelce?
Or Ertz. He's better than Fleener. His numbers are better than Fleener. Fleener just got a big... This is my point, though, about getting paid. I mean, Fleener just got a contract that surpasses Martellus.
Yeah.
And yet, Martellus Bennett's been a better tight end since Fleener came in the league. I mean, you go look at the numbers. And so, I think there is a market for Martellus Bennett, but you got to find the right situation, and is he going to be willing to play for what he's getting paid? I don't think there's going to be a team out there willing to pay him more. Unless there is a team that has decided they want him and they're willing to restructure his deal, give him an extension. But in that case, you're not going to give up a whole lot, right?
Yeah. You're not going to get much for him.
Yeah.
I mean, I talked to – remember last year when the trade rumors were starting to get going with him? It was around draft time, same exact time last year Martellus Bennett was on the trade block, you know, per se. Talked to Daniel Jeremiah, reputable former scout, NFL Network analyst now. He thought you could get maybe a fifth, if I can remember this, maybe a fifth or sixth round pick from Martellus Bennett. And he said there are questions about this guy's work ethic. He said it then. So, former scout, people know that they have listings on these guys. They know what they're getting into. I don't know if Kobe Fleener, Zach Ertz, or any of these guys have the same amount of issues. But, I mean, we saw some of them firsthand at Bears training camps in various times.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, there's no question. Well, and to me, Martellus Bennett is the next domino to fall.
Yeah.
At least the biggest domino to fall. And I think we both agree he's gone. He's not going to be in a Bears uniform. But the Bears need to figure out what they're doing with him. So let's talk about who the tight ends are on the roster. You have Zach Miller. You re-signed Rob Houser. And
Kari Lee,
who they traded for, who you'd hope still has some room to grow since they did trade for him. But are you comfortable with those guys as your tight ends?
No, I don't think the Bears are. That's why they pursued Jermaine Gresham, right?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe if the Bears signed Jermaine Gresham, they just already make the decision on Bennett.
But was Gresham a possible replacement for Miller if he left?
I always thought Miller was coming back.
But did the Bears think that?
Yeah. I think it's been a very open dialogue between those two. They just needed some competition to see what people were willing to pay him so they could be, I guess, honest with his negotiation and his contract.
Well, this just leads me to another big question. Good for the Bears for upgrading on defense the way they have.
Mm-hmm.
But meanwhile, when they trade Martellus Bennett, that means in the last 13 months, they have let Brandon Marshall, Matt Forte, and Martellus Bennett go. Now, in each situation, in a vacuum, you can understand why they did it. There's reason, logic behind all three of those. I get it. But when you add them all together and you look at their production, who is picking up the slack? And you could say Alshon Jeffrey, but Jeffrey was already in the offense with those guys. Okay, so he's really got to pick it up, and he has injury concerns. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is putting to me, this is putting a lot of pressure on Kevin White to produce immediately. And you're putting a lot of stock in a guy who hasn't played a down yet in the NFL. To me, that is concerning. And is I think it's a fair question right now. Is this offense worse as we look at it right now than it has been the last few seasons? They're banking a lot of young guys, a lot of unproven guys to start producing immediately. Guys with injury concerns. I just wonder about this offense right now. And it, look, we're far from the offseason being over. There's moves that can still be made. There's draft picks that are going to be made. I wonder about this offense right now as we look at it in the middle of March.
I get the risk. I get what you're saying. You know, Alshon Jeffrey, numerous lower body soft tissue issues last year. Kevin White, the shin surgery. You're relying on two young running backs, two still relatively unproven running backs. Martellus Bennett is gone. I think the offensive line could be in decent shape, especially getting Kyle Long back at right guard. And Bobby Massey is a pretty serviceable. And look, he's better than Jordan Mills, in my opinion. Let's just start, leave it at that.
Yeah.
But you're right. But I still look at the potential, and I think the Bears also look at the potential. You know, they obviously love Kevin White coming out of West Virginia. They obviously love Alshon Jeffrey because they franchise tagged him. And I know they looked at other running backs, but they still got some faith in Jeremy Langford and Kadeem Carey. The playmaking is there. Zach Miller has made big plays. We've seen it last year. The potential is there. Is the consistency there? I don't know. We'll have to find out. I think the only consistent threat they have right now is Alshon Jeffrey. And that comes with his injury situation. But I think in terms of playmakers, they have him offensively. I think the potential is there. And you just have to go with it sometimes. Well, I mean, you can't spend a crazy amounts of money to try to fix everything.
Well, I agree. I don't know that Matt Forte qualifies as crazy amounts of money, though, when you look at that contract. Now, but let's get into this running back conversation. You brought up Kadeem Carey and Jeremy Langford. We heard John Fox at the Combine, the things he said about Kadeem Carey, which...
He was watching highlight clips for fun, people. Kadeem Carey had some good runs, but, you know...
Okay, but...
Looking
back on that now, knowing that they offered C.J. Anderson $19 million...
Yeah.
How much of that was John Fox playing a little bit of poker at the Combine? I mean, so we know they like Jeremy Langford. You got the head coach up there in Indianapolis where everybody's watching, and he's raving about Kadeem Carey. That makes you think, this team is – they like these two running backs. This is the running back duo next year. It's going to be Jeremy Langford. It's going to be Kadeem Carey. Matt Forte is gone. This is what they're doing. They believe in him. And then $19 million to C.J. Anderson, you go, wait a minute. One thing this definitely means is they are not as set on those two guys, Langford and Carey, as they've made it seem like they are.
I think they really like Jeremy Langford. Kadeem Carey, we'll hear some context. The guy was on the bubble last year.
Yeah.
I mean, if Sonoris Perry doesn't go down, this guy may not be on this team.
Yeah, I think that's a fair thing to say.
You know, so yes, he came in and he impressed Gase, and he impressed Fox, and he impressed Pace. And, you know, he runs hard. He runs with energy, you know. He's got that spark plug quality. But John Fox knows C.J. Anderson. C.J. Anderson has produced in the playoffs. I don't know if he was being that coy. I know what you're saying. Fox has always wanted this wave of running backs. Just look what he did in Carolina. Yeah, D'Angelo Williams, and he'd take Jonathan Stewart in the first round a couple years later. You know, so, of course, he likes D'Angelo Williams. Then he takes Jonathan Stewart. So the guy likes having a lot of running backs. Maybe this is part of it, and the Bears did have a lot of cap room. But it was very interesting that they just went up to the Combine with everybody there, heaped a lot of praise on these two young guys, and then offered this other guy $20 million.
Yeah, it's just... Of all the things they've done in the last week, this was the one thing that I was like, wait, what? It just made me pause. And then the other part of this that originally, before looking at the money, I was confused by was Matt Forte. And I'm going, all right, I know C.J. Anderson's 5 years younger, but Matt Forte is by far the better running back. You look at the production, it's not even close. And even today, as you look at where they are in their careers, I still take Matt Forte just who's the better running back.
Yeah, yeah. I think age played a big role.
Well, there's
though.
No question.
Age, new regime, you know.
But I was just going, why are you didn't even offer Matt Forte a contract, but you're going to throw $19 million at C.J. Anderson. That is questionable even with the age factor. However, once you dive into the numbers, it does make sense because Matt Forte still got $9 million guaranteed by the Jets. It was only a $12 million contract over 3 years, which you'll just look at that and you go, oh, that's pretty affordable. But $9 million guaranteed, he's going to see three-fourths of that money no matter what.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and then you look at C.J. Anderson, what the Broncos ended up retaining. We don't know the specifics of what the Bears offered. It was the most money, though. According to C.J. Anderson actually confirmed that yesterday on ESPN, that the Bears did offer the most. But what the Broncos retain Anderson at is $18 million total. However, only $7.6 million of that is guaranteed. So there's actually less guaranteed money in Anderson's deal than Forte's. And when you throw in the difference of 5 years in age, okay, I understand that then. Why you're willing to go with the younger, why you want to go with the younger running back for less money guaranteed. All right, that makes more sense.
I don't think Matt Forte is slowing down. I think he's got a couple of good years left in him. But that age thing, these GMs nowadays take that in such serious consideration.
Yeah.
And this is a team that's, I mean, Pace has said it a couple times on the record. We got to get younger. They're trying to find younger players. And it's a tough pill to swallow. I mean, that's what Matt Forte said, a hard pill to swallow, and it is for fans too. But it's all about moving on and finding the, like you said, it's only Jay Cutler and Robbie Gould left from the Angelo era. And you're trying to get your own team here.
All right, before we get out of here, what do you envision is coming up here in the next week for the Bears? Think it quiets down a little bit?
Well, yeah, we still got, like you said, the Martellus Bennett conundrum, you know, that hammer to fall, if you want to use that saying. We'll see what happens there. That's the biggie.
Let's make a prediction. By the time we do a podcast next week in Florida at the owners' meetings, is Martellus Bennett still on the roster?
Yes. Yes. You?
I think so, too. But don't you think there's a chance it could be worked out next week?
Yeah, at the owners' meetings.
Yeah,
yeah, a little FaceTime between GMs. When does the off-season program open? April 18th?
Yeah, it's in the middle of April.
I think that's the deadline. Because I don't think
he's not going to show up.
I don't think he'll show up anyway, but you want to have some finality for your team and for that locker room to know what situation they're going to be in.
Yeah, and also I found it interesting that Zach Miller, it wasn't a surprise, but Zach Miller said that he didn't really seek clarification on the Martellus Bennett situation before he re-signed. However, I think he also has pretty intimate knowledge of what's going on behind the scenes and can guess that Martellus is not coming back.
No, no. I mean, the guy was placed in IR with a rib injury that most people, especially a guy like him, would play through. So, I mean, that's enough writing on the wall for me.
I think things slow down in terms of signings.
You'll get your one-year deals.
Yeah, and those are going to trickle in, I think, over time here.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't even sign Tracy Porter to like, May last year, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we were well into the OTAs and stuff.
But you have, remember, there was a $3 million contract thrown at Alan Ball last year, later, one-year deal. That didn't work out. But there were deals like that. Jarvis Jenkins, one-year deal. Mason Foster, one-year deal. There were a slew of these deals that came in later. I want to say there was Mason Foster was the week of the owners' meetings last year.
Ray McDonald was definitely the week of the owners' meetings.
So there's still going to be some things that trickle in here, but I think the big deals are probably done. And then you got to figure out Martellus Bennett, and then there's the draft, which, by the way, we talked about the running back situation. The draft.
Yeah.
I think you and I were already thinking that they draft a running back possibly this year, but now when you look at, oh, $19 million at C.J. Anderson, makes you think they definitely are.
Yeah, yeah. You know, number 11 is an interesting spot if a guy like Ezekiel Elliott falls. I don't know if he gets out of the top eight.
I don't think he's Todd Gurley, though. And Todd Gurley went 10.
10.
And I think Gurley's a better running back.
Yeah. So, better than Melvin Gordon, though, who went 15. The Bears are right in that range for Elliott.
They are. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if he's on the table, and I've never really taken that seriously until you see them throw $19 million at C.J. Anderson. Yeah. You go, all right, where is he on that?
Elliott's elite, though.
Where is he on that draft board?
Do you think he's – okay, he may not be Todd Gurley, but he's a number one back.
He's
in the
NFL. First-round pick.
Yeah.
Which
he's
I don't,
top 20 pick.
Yeah, and I don't. I agree with you. I just don't know if he's right for the Bears. You have so many other needs. You have two decent running backs that filled in pretty nicely for Matt Forte last year.
You don't buy the best player available?
Well, I do. I think that's a good way to go.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
Only where need comes in is if those grades are so similar,
right?
You know that you're the need pulls.
Well, I guess that's my point. I think you're still going to be able to grab somebody on defense that is still going to have the same kind of impact Ezekiel Elliott's going to have on offense.
Yeah, good defensive tackle. Corner?
Corner's still the need. Tracy Porter's back. Kyle Fuller's back. Two solid corners, but you can do better, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So, it'll be interesting to watch. Anything else?
No. Time for the owners' meetings, my friend.
Time for the owners' meetings. We will both be there next week in Florida. Boca Raton. You going to bring the swimsuit?
Yeah, actually. Maybe one pair of shorts. I like keeping it professional.
Are you still staying at the Fairfield Inn?
No.
Switched?
We moved to a Marriott in Fort Lauderdale.
I thought about that.
Yeah.
It crossed my mind. Then I'm like,
spring break.
That's too far away.
Hey, it's
wow, you're going big time.
Me and Moon hitting the street.
All right. Well, it's still a Marriott property. If Marriott still wants to sponsor the podcast, we're still waiting on that.
We're here.
On that phone call. We will probably be doing a podcast from one of your properties next week in Florida. All right. For Adam Hoge. For Adam Johns, I'm Adam Hoge. This is Intentional Grounding, episode 26. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. WGNRadio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com. Find the podcast on iTunes by searching Intentional Grounding. Thanks to our producer, Mike Jacobson. We'll be back next week with a new episode from the owners' meetings in Florida.